Yeah, so go ahead. If you, I'm happy for you to circle around and tell us your aha moments.
I talked yesterday about how I had to do everything on my last job. Mm-hmm. A part of it was to find food and beverage sponsors for the event. And my boss has like his own way of negotiating, and I came to the realization that each one has their own.
Yeah.
But mine was a little more, well, like, human. Like, I didn't talk to the other person like I was talking to a brand. I was talking to a person.
Yeah.
And my boss didn't like that at all. And since he knew that and he didn't like it, he put, like, another person to help me with that, kind of. Mm-hmm. Because this person had more experience dealing with brands. And the first thing that I noticed was that the people that she spoke with that had spoken to me first and then she like kept it going, they had a very response when talking to me. Like they didn't like talking to her. Mm. That, and the second thing was that it was a very different experience dealing with people that were in big like brands, big companies, that people that had their own small ones. And that people that were like small brands that both the event and then could benefit from.
Right.
So I think like you said that the human element is not, it tends to get lost in bigger companies. And I kind of saw that firsthand. And at the same time, like my negotiating way worked very well with small brands and worked better with bigger brands than the other persons. But since my boss didn't like it and didn't agree with it, and he didn't even thought of it as a professional way of negotiating, mm-hmm. he like put someone in the middle that ended up being like counterproductive because they ended up wanting to talk to me anyway. So I had like this, like there's a lot of things. Even yesterday with the, when we were talking about the responsibility modes, mm-hmm. I've been having these moments like, yeah, I've been through that. I can relate, like, oh, that happened to me, but it's easier to handle it and to be more aware of it when it has a name.
Right.
Like I've never heard of responsibility modes. It was just responsibility for me.
Right.
So naming things, it's starting to make a lot of sense to me.
Right. And that's part of the process of I guess there's a little bit of me in one of my lifetimes. I went to a seminary, and so I not only studied physics, but I also studied theology. But one of the things that I mentioned yesterday about Marilyn, that's where I met her. I wasn't quite sure that I was the right person to be in a seminary, but anyway, I was there. But so the Bible wasn't my biggest thing. Excuse me for all of the very, but anyway, neither here nor there. That's the Australian part of me, or who knows what. I'm not going to make excuses. It's just, this is just who I am. But one of the interesting things that I always found, one of the very first things that Adam did in the garden, what did he do? Not the second or the third thing. What did he walk around the garden doing? Okay, I feel like I know the Bible a little bit, you know. He named things. It's a way that we as humans get a handle on things, to kind of grasp and figure out what we're doing. It gives us a way to, even through language, figure out, you know, it distills something out of this fog of confusion and everythingness into something that we can do. So when we find a name for something, it's a very, in a way, it's quite a powerful thing. And there are dangers, like everything, there's pros and cons. You know, it just like, you know, you name a disease, you've got to be really careful that if you say, well, I think I've got this, that you don't self-identify, you don't become that name. It becomes a facet or an aspect of part of the way of how you operate. It doesn't become your identity. Even you get into the areas and why names and identity are so critical to the human being, you get into a lot of the violence in the world. So many of them are actually associated with identity-based issues. And because I identify one way, and this I person identifies another way, then we can't agree, or we're different, and therefore, instead of saying, I have this identity, you have this identity, and we can make greater things together. But, you know, so there's a combination of mindset and naming. But anyway, so that would kind of just took me off on one of my many tangents. But when you can identify something in your life, it gives you a way to then explore it a little bit differently. And then you can know where you're going. It's kind of like, that's why, you know, we name islands, we name rocks, we name parts of the earth, we name this state and that state. We name this community in a larger city. We each, one of the first things that ever happens to any of us is we get a name. We don't even know it, but we get a name. So it's part of a very fundamental to who we are. And so, yeah, as you identify that, one thing I'd like to add onto this about the arc of responsibility is that when you get to the responsibility to, and there's a key piece in there, and I don't have the perfect solution for this either. I mean, just noticing certain things is that part of the importance of separating out what we're responsible for and what we're responsible to is because then we don't stay attached to the emotions of being responsible for, and we can let them go when we're being responsible to. And oftentimes what happens is that that in our endeavors, in our helping endeavors, we hold on to the emotional components of what it means to be responsible for, even when we should be at the stage of responsibility to. And that's what kind of incapacitates us. When we see that by the time we get to the responsibility to, or where we really need to be being responsible to another person, they're not a thing, and therefore, you know, a baby's not a thing exactly either, but they act much more like a thing when they're helpless. You know, they've got to be managed and handled and, you know, whatever else. But as they become more fully human, and they, you know, their own capacity for decision making and whatever else grows, then that the emotional elements of being responsible for something need to be, of course, let go. And that's freeing for us, because then otherwise we feel burdened. We feel like we've failed because we haven't done the job, when in fact it wasn't our job. I cannot make decisions for my children, now that they're not children. You know, anything more than I can make a decision about a rock out on the road. That's them. It's inappropriate that I even try to make decisions for them. What I can do, however, is I can help with accountability. So when we get to the responsibility to, one of the main things that we do for others is be an accountability partner or a source of accountability. Knowing that they have made a determination to do such and such, I can't make a person do that. But what I can do is I can say, well, I heard you say this. You said you were going to do that. How's it going? And most of us actually, even though sometimes it feels a little bit like a bit of a hit on the nose, we actually at another level at that, you know, lower, we appreciate being held accountable, especially for the things that we have said and or know are important. But sometimes we just simply need that that accountability. It's actually very important for all of us. It helps keep us on track, because life is busy and diverse and exciting and challenging and overwhelming at times, and to stay in that sense, to stay on track, sometimes we just simply need those accountability partners. And that's one of the things that a good mentor will do. As you know, Fernanda, you're part of what you appreciate about your mentor is that you come up with some idea, and they say, yeah, well, that's a really good idea, but have you thought about this? Have you thought about this? And have you thought about this? So what they're doing in that is helping you stay on track for your bigger goal of your thesis or of your work at hand. So what happens in that arc of responsibility is we go from being, and we need to differentiate those levels of responsibility. And even then you add to that those dimensions, the onion of the levels, the expanding levels up to global level. You recognize that, you know, if you're an individual, the reality is, like it or not, unless you're in a position of governmental responsibility, there are certain things that you cannot do at the governmental level. You can influence, you can introduce, you can engage, you can inform, you can win over, you can try to show, but you can't make the decisions of government. You know, so even just having, again, all of these little structures and names and things just help us understand where it is in this big, otherwise amorphous blob of words and discussions and decisions to be made. And sometimes we can't quite identify where we are. And as you know, one of my lifetimes was 10 years at sea. Not at sea all the time, but around boats to the extent that I had my Coast Guard captain's license and all that sort of stuff. And that takes quite some sea time to do it. Plus you have to pass license, you know, permitting and whatever else. But that's just to say that when you spend, and I think life is so much more, part of what was wonderful about the time I spent time at sea in Australia, I spent time at sea over here, up in Alaska, West Coast, down south, northeast coast, wherever in America. And I skied between Singapore and Malaysia one time back in the 70s. But anyway, water skiing, that is, not snow skiing. That when you spend time at sea and you're not just piloting around the coastal areas, in other words, you're out of sight of land. In other words, you're in relatively unknown territory. And even when you're piloting and going basically up a coast or down the coast or, you know, short hops across little expanses of water, do you know what a good captain, or if you're on a larger boat, whoever is responsible, you know, at the time, what they spend most of their time doing? Figuring out where they are. Now that might sound funny in a way, but when you're heading somewhere, if you don't know where you are, you don't know which direction to go in. And waves, underlying currents that you can't see and that at the surface you don't know are there and you don't know what they're doing to you. To actually know where you are is not so simple. And it's one of those things that you spend an awful lot of time doing so that you can course correct. Because the most efficient journey, efficient way to get to your destination is to stay on track, to go the straight line. Of course, there is no straight line at sea or in life. But in order to straighten out that line as best as possible, you do need to be constantly figuring out where you are. And that takes a triangulation process. It takes understanding how fast you've been going, the direction you're going in. You also have to know then how to course correct, because you have to know your destination. Without knowing your destination, you're just afloat. And that's nice, but it doesn't get you very far. And sooner or later, you're going to have to go back to land and get food, water, and whatever. But life is a lot like that. And so we do have to spend a lot of our time figuring out where we are. And it constantly changes. Again, from the wind, the waves, the way the vessel, your vessel, either you or your organization, operates in the current environment. Some boats really have a hard time with big swells. Some are fine. You have to know your vessel. One of the biggest challenges for people at sea is understanding the currents, the deep currents. Like up around the tip of Australia, if you, between Cape York, I don't know which way you're looking at it. But anyway, on the eastern side, you've got the Cape York Peninsula. And then right above it, you've got, does anybody know what country is right above Cape York Peninsula in Australia? Or geography? Okay, geography lesson. Okay, Papua New Guinea. Anyway, so right between there, it's not a very large channel. And between the tide changes, you get currents, and the same down the south in Bass Strait. You've got tides that go between Tasmania and the main body of Australia. And the currents going through there can be 8, 10, 12 knots, basically miles per hour, nautical miles per hour. And if you are a sailing vessel that is doing really well under optimal conditions with the winds heading the right way, and you can go 6 or 7 knots, and you're not paying attention to the currents, the time of day, what's actually going on deep down below you. According to the waves on the surface of the water, you're going 6, 7 miles an hour with the wind blowing in a good direction. In fact, across the ground, you're going backwards. So it would make more sense that you stay at anchor until the tide changes. Then you can go at the right time, 11 knots with the current, add on another 6 or 7 knots on the surface, and you're all of a sudden going almost 20 knots. That's just a real life way to say that when we operate in the world, it's really important that we do look at what's below the surface. We have to understand the deep currents that are going on, because they can impact us far more than we know. And for all intents and purposes, when we look at the waves, we test the wind, we see the speed of the boat through the water at the surface. But when that whole body of water is going in another direction, we go backwards. This happens in life. We haven't navigated this world before. Nobody has. Nobody has. So all the more reason why we pay attention to all the different factors in the world, that we do pay attention to figuring out exactly where we are and to triangulate. And if you notice, if somebody was actually paying attention to where they were, they would notice they were going backwards. and either quickly drop anchor or go into a harbor and wait there for a while and then come back out again. You make different decisions when you have different information. And so as you look at even things like, you know, how do you operate with people, you know, it is really valuable and important to get in, you know, get always these whole bigger pictures, the deeper, profound stuff, to see what the difference is between being responsible to and being responsible for. It can make an enormous difference to your experience, to the outcomes of your experience and what you're doing. And yeah. So why did I tell you that story? It's a fun story. It's a real life story. But also I think as part of the main point there is I wanted to make is that in these journeys of life, nobody has lived done this before. And there are certain things that we do need to do. And as leaders of your life, and I truly believe some of you are already significantly leading organizations or aspects of organizations. And part of what will be your work is to constantly assess where you are personally, organizationally. And as we go into this next section, what I'm going to jump into now is a way of working on the X factor, you know, is working on and clarifying who you are, your unique pieces and components, which is in a way, one of the ways of saying, okay, who am I now? Can you hear me now? Who am I now? next time you hear anybody saying, can you hear me now? You can also think, you know, who am I now? Because we change, we constantly change. Some of it is just small adjustments, but some of them at pivotal moments in our life, we make significant changes or adjustments. We have, you know, either job changes or experiences that put us, you know, quite quickly, that seemingly quickly, although it tends to be cumulative, and then all of a sudden we're in a whole new place. But a really important piece of it is to, you know, have a way to identify who you are, your uniqueness in the world, and your unique contribution and the goals that you're endeavoring to make. So now we're going to jump into, and we looked at this in our class, but we didn't really do an exercise. And that's what I want to walk us through today, to take the time to look at some of these, to do it as more of an exercise. So let me, for a start, before I give you specific times to do this, and I'm going to give you in a few minutes, I'm going to give you little things to work on yourself a few minutes at a time, and then to share them with one another, to practice saying that in a very short and concise way, because we realize sometimes, you know, it's very easy to sometimes think that we're very clear about who we are and what we're doing until we get to trying to explain it to somebody in a sentence or even a couple of sentences. So this will be an exercise with clarifying our X factor. Now let me go into, I'll pull up the screen that I want to do for now. And this X factor, and I think if for those of you who were in the class, is kind of the sweet spot of four main elements. And believe me, as we look at this now, as you go into the exercise, then as you go back into your workplace, in the cases of organizations, in the case of even you as individuals and figuring out your own sense of life mission. Is it clear to you? And the thing is, these things change, and what your mission might be at the moment for example, Fernandez, is to become an accomplished PhD student. But that you may have goals beyond that at this stage. And then as you go through life, those things change. So the point is not necessarily to etch these in stone, but nevertheless to be clear about them, about where you are now, because that gives you your footing for taking your next step. So, of course, part of it is your passion. What is somehow the piece that is you that seems to be there no matter what you do? And what ignites you? What inspires you? What just is something that you deeply love to do that you know is somehow who you are? That's one aspect. And in a minute, what I'm going to get you to do is to write down a bunch of these little things in each of these areas and see if you can come up with some kind of a sweet spot. And it's an integrative process. And part of it is brainstorming with yourself, and then part of it is the thinking about it later on. Then there is another thing that tends to be a little bit different than what you're passionate about. Then you also look at what can you be best at. And sometimes organizations have a certain passion and mission, but then also need to look at what you've done and done well in your history. What are you actually really good at? Sometimes we need a little bit of outside perspective to help us see that as individuals. Or sometimes it needs a little bit of reflection and discussion amongst a group of people in your organization to figure out what can you be best at? What do you really stand out at doing? Now, there are a lot of things in your life that you're good at. So for this purpose, this is not to demean or to belittle or to diminish in value at all any of the things that you can be best at. But for the purpose of creating a really laser-focused clarity for action, what we do want to find eventually is this sweet spot, is this intersection of all of these areas. But you have to begin, just beginning, and this is where we'll begin in the exercise, by just listing what can you be best at, the mix of things. We'll get to the integrative process after that. Then, in terms of this area for organization, what fuels your resource engine? Okay, so resource engine, why I say resources rather than money or energy, or anyway, it's just we use different, you know, resources for our fuel. In organizations, you do need money, you do need people. And one of the things that we do as social beings, if you remember the lizard limbic and logic, you've got the survival stuff, which is the raw energy, you've got your limbic stuff, which is just social stuff, and then you've got your more logical stuff, which is, I don't know whether I'm drawing the right parallels here, but anyway, you've got your different resources that are available to you, and they're different according to which X factor you're focusing on, whether it's your personal X factor. And so you do have actual resources, like you may have a guitar if you're an artist and you have access to that resource. You might have access to a studio. You might have, you know, that other people do not have. If your goal and your passion is to become a performing artist, or maybe you don't have access to a studio, so therefore maybe then you'll end up doing, for now at this stage, you might end up doing some teaching of students. I don't know, but I'm just saying that you do have multiple resources in your life. And part of it is doing an inventory of your resources and thinking about what you do have. And some many times we overlook many of the resources that we do have. We don't see them as resources, and sometimes they're people, sometimes they're objects, sometimes they're organizations or reservoirs of people. I don't know, but just the point here is to say resources so that you don't limit it to just thinking you need money or just thinking you need things or just thinking that you need a specific access to a particular person. And then the other piece that is not as quickly available but is important as you, and this is where the whole integrated pieces of these three that I it comes in, that as you and the resources here, and part of the ways you tap those resources and understand those resources down here, and you find out the needs of people, the real needs or the real potential, the overlap of the people that you're engaging with or the groups that you are wanting to involve, your stakeholders, and finding this sweet spot in there through even that process of understanding what their needs, wants, and desires are. And so this is new. So this is what we have here in this sweet spot, and we'll get to that. Oh, did I move things? Yes. So what I want you to do now is I'm going to give you what would it be? I just want you to do the brainstorming for a few minutes, and I'll leave this up on the screen just so that you can remind yourself what you're doing. But what I want you to do is for like 2 minutes, and I will time you, just because it's really important to have you just, you know, get stuff out there. What I want you to do is spend, I'm going to time you at 2 minutes, maybe I'll give you 3 minutes. What are you most passionate about? To think and explore and write those down. Then another 3 minutes, what can you be best at? Another 3 minutes. And so again, just list. Don't worry at all about right, wrong, good, bad. Do just brainstorm. Just get these out. Get yourself out a piece of paper and a pen and just write a whole lot of stuff. And when you get to, you think you've written, if you've got more time in the 3 minutes until I tell you to move, just think, is there anything else? Dig a little deeper. And that can add to you. So I am going to, why don't you just get going, and I will get the timer going here, and I will let you know when it's time to move over to the next little, the next section. So there you go. Let me see if I can find you some. Thank you. 45 seconds. Okay, now I'd like you to make a list of all of the things that you can do and some of the things that write down, don't limit what you are really good at. I'm sure there are a number of things. Try to think of things that people have said to you, gosh, you're really good at, that you don't necessarily think of. About things that you were good at a few years ago, or maybe even something you've forgotten you're good at. Maybe that's easier for me. Got about another 30 seconds on this one. Okay, getting ready to change over to your resources. About all the different kinds of resources that you have access to. People, things. Locations, groups. This could be a long list. Sense reaching behind some of those social networks, who behind some of those names and who are the people or the groups behind them, and or school connections, other areas of your university or connections that you might have there. Past work. Am I coming to the end of the time of your resources? So now start and turn your mind to the real needs, not just as best you can for now, because ideally you would go out and test some of these needs, but start with what you understand as perceived needs in your sphere of influence, depending on, and that's if you're talking about yourself as an individual, if you're talking about your workspace, those around you, that you're the sphere of influence that you have through your stakeholders and family, friends, or organizations, next level up in your, if you're operating at the organizational level, go the next level up to political levels or community levels or association levels. What are their needs? This list may have nothing to do with you, but what you see that they need. We've got 1 minute left. Bring it to a close. Okay, so did you fill up a page or was it easy to write? What was that like? Any feedback on the experience of just writing that stuff?
Some were easier than others for me. Like for the situation that I'm right now, like in between jobs and like working on projects that are still projects. So some were easier than others, but they were all like, I had enough information to write about everything.
Cool.
Yeah, it was just nice to get it all onto a page. I feel like there's so much in our heads sometimes that it's nice to just like...
Yeah, brain dump. Brain dump is good. Because it's interesting that process of getting it out, things can stay fuzzy in the head, but by the time you distill it into, you know, even just go through the physical motion of writing, It solidifies things. It's the next step in the process of, it's a creative process. I mean, it's just that simple. And our life is a creative, we are creating our life. Leading our life is a creative process constantly. And leaving everything just up in the kind of the nether gloom, the fuzz, is sometimes we kid ourselves that we've got it figured out when we don't always. So it really does help to do that. Any other quick comments? And then we'll move on to the sort of fun part. I think there's going to be two parts to this. The next part is where I want you to, as best as you can, is look at all of the things now that you become an observer of your own different areas of life. Now you get to look at that page and you get to see, okay, now as an observer in my own life, I can see maybe this piece, I'm really good at that. That's something that actually meshes with what I understand that the stakeholders need. And it's something that I've got resources for, and it is aligned with my passion. So I want you now, I'm just going to give you another 3 minutes, and if we'll see if that's long enough for you to go through this process of extracting that and seeing if you can see anything new come out from this part of the process. So I will just simply start up my handy dandy little timer here and let you get to work again, just seeing what is that sweet spot, if you can find that sweet spot. I know that when I do this, it doesn't just all happen, and sometimes some things will pop out, but going through this process, you know, maybe later on tonight or tomorrow morning, you might wake up and you go, but it's important to do this process and then to see what you can integrate even now. So here we go, 3 minutes. Trying to play something different for you. There you go. Got about half a minute left. Mm-hmm. Was that enough time for you? To get something? So, does anybody want to share what they came up with? Let me rephrase that. Would anybody share what they came up with?
Sure. For me, So I'm just gonna, like, you mean the connections, the whole narrative connections thing, right? Yeah. So in terms of passions and mission, I feel a very strong passion and mission for doing the work to realize my own value and my unique passions and connecting the two, and kind of inspiring others to find that for themselves.
Yep.
That's what I am very passionate about. And usually through the means of kind of testimonial and educational mechanisms, I like to talk to people about what I know. And that is connected to what I'm good at, which is, I think I'm good at speaking eloquently relatively well, and I'm really good at relating to a diverse group of people, which is fueled by my own experiences, diverse experiences, and my own journey of growth that I can speak to. And because I've had a very diverse array of experiences, I have a lot of connections and contacts all over the world, and a lot of friendships that of young professionals specifically. And that meets the needs of my organization, WFWPI, because one of the things that WFWPI really does need is that new young dynamic, young professional network, to really be able to facilitate just facilitate connection and just amplify its impact in its mission of really igniting this sense of value amongst women and just in our mission there. So that's how it all connects.
Yeah. Was it interesting to find all of those connections? Was it, I mean, you probably kind of knew, but was it good to, you know, even that little bit of clarity, was it helpful?
Yeah, I think it was different from the last time, where the last time I was coming from more of like, as a representative of Women's Federation first, and this time just coming from a personal aspect kind of made it flow better.
Yeah.
Like last time I was very confused as to happened.
Yeah, when you first encounter something, you don't know where to start. And there's so many layers you could start at. You could start at the individual level, but again, I think as you see, the alignment of all of the aspects is what empowers in the end, what creates the real potency of anything. Yeah, and so doing that is wonderful. Thank you. Daniela.
Yeah. So I struggle a little, but I'm very passionate. I studied entertainment business management, and I'm very passionate about it as a business and as an audience member to go to the theater or a concert or anything live entertainment related. That's something that like brings me this kind of feeling and joy that nothing else can. And also, while working on that industry, I realized it has a huge potential to have a greater impact in the world other than just entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
So my passion/mission is to merge these two things. Like to still enjoy the entertainment part of it, but have a bigger impact at the same time.
Right.
I realized through like working with very different groups of people on very different projects that I'm very good at adapting to what that group needs specifically, because in some groups I could be a creative one, and another group I could be, there could be someone that's way more creative than me, so I would be the one to ground the ideas. I realized I'm very, very good at that. And also finding like a common ground. Mm-hmm. Like I know I'm a very good mediator. And like somehow I think that relates with mediating also, or finding a common ground with entertainment and like social impact. My resources right now are mostly my friends that are in different aspects of the entertainment industry that I'm not very familiar with. And like my own experience and my own contacts also, because those are the people that, like the project that I'm working on, they're going to be the first ones I present it to. And speaking in the like about my stakeholders, most of them are in their work in entertainment and have been having a very rough time during COVID. So like their main needs right now are to survive and innovate, and at the same time to connect with their own stakeholders. So where I think I can meet their needs is in helping them innovate, give them a way to do that.
Cool.
So if I had to like name my X factor, it would be like add on to. Like, I'm not trying to compete. I'm not trying to change what you do. I'm trying to add to what you're doing.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you. Yeah, helping people innovate and adapt in challenging times is critical, because that's the whole change leadership thing, is seeing the opportunities at a very practical way, understanding what the real needs are, not what just the thought needs are, and then facilitating that adaptation process. Very good. Ifanya, I'm not sure, did you have a chance to do this exercise? I wasn't sure whether you were able to.
Yeah, I think I did a little bit. I don't know if that was exactly what was needed. Well, I looked at, you know, what am I deeply passionate about? Basically, I find that I'm deeply passionate about human capital development.
Mm-hmm.
Which ties into our mission is to, you know, give people's skills and help them build confidence and opportunities, platforms to express themselves, and also change the world, whatever they want to do, but giving them what it takes for them to do it, if it means doing it for themselves, you know, and not just doing things for them. I came to realize that the biggest advocate is the person who advocates for himself. Mm-hmm. Because he knows exactly where the shoe pinches. But if you give him the tool, he'll be able to speak up for himself. If you don't give him the tools, then he allow people to just walk all over him or her. And at that point in time, since they can't express themselves, you can only speak for them based on your limited knowledge of them. You know, the exercise we did earlier, which you show even the people closest to us only know between 15% to 20%. You know, that's what we know about them, and not much, regardless of how much time we spend. So if I'm going to advocate for someone and all I know about them is just 15% of what's going through their mind, I don't think I'm doing a very effective job in doing that. So giving them the tools to be able to articulate that for themselves would be something that I come to realize I'm very passionate about, and that's both an organizational mission and also a personal mission. What fuels my resource engine is basically respect for them, for their dignity, and love and compassion. Sympathy has no way. I don't have sympathy for them because I can't articulate their emotions. I can only respect and give them the tools, you know, in a dignifying manner where they believe that they matter, they are seen. The other question was what I think has to do with the resources that my stakeholders need, their needs basically, which also will also translate to my own need. The need that I come to realize is looking through the mission is they want to be seen. They want to be heard. Mm-hmm. They also want people to know that they exist, first of all, as people, and respected, regarded. Most times, the mistake many of us make, especially those of us that brand ourselves charitable organizations, is we go in with the mindset that these men and women or children are charity cases. Mm-hmm. We're here to come sweep them out from their terrible and miserable world. And we're doing them out of sympathy, but they're not charity cases. You know, they are people and they want to be heard. They want to stand on their own platform. They need development. They need the tools to become who and what they want to become. They need empowerment and also forming strategic alliance. And that comes to also what do I need? What I need is also to be able to have the temperament, the tools to meet those needs, which means I need to have the human resources component of it, understanding who I am first, because I cannot give somebody what I don't have. That means I have to make sure that everybody within my organization, myself included, get those skill sets, those tools to be able to offer it to them as well, and also carry ourselves in a dignified manner. Show ourselves responsible and reasonable to them. You know, I have to make sure I have that and need to show myself responsible and reasonable. So that's pretty much it.
Thank you. And your, I might have missed this. You said about the things that you can do best. What is it that you can do best?
Okay, what is it I can do best? Basically is, I know I wrote it down, is coming up with new ways, new and improved ways to address complex issues. That's one of the things I found out.
You're an innovator and a thought leader and innovator in that way, yeah. Wonderful. Well, that's James, I don't know whether you're here. And maybe if he did the exercise, perhaps he can upload that to the Facebook page later on. Maybe. I'm not sure that he's here, but he seems to be here, which is really good. So in the process of clarifying the X factor, this is just one little, in a way, it's just one little exercise. I'm just trying to find my other notes around here. What I would like you to do now is to distill that down to a simple sentence that says something like, I help whoever your target group is that you are primarily focusing on. So for Daniela, it might be entertainers, or you could narrow that down even further, but you help these people and then do just as a way to, you know, to distill it down, have yourself to analyze and think, what is it that you do? Oh, I didn't ask you, Fernanda, did I? Let me hear from you, Fernanda.
Okay. Well, about what am I deeply passionate about? I think, first of all, it would be helping others and working with other people. At the same time, for me, it's feeling productive and making things that make me feel that I'm growing and I'm learning. I like to constantly be learning new stuff. And something that I have been learning from the last years is how to be myself without judging and taking care of me. And even though I may want to take responsibility for a lot of things, I need to take into account how am I dealing with myself first. Mm-hmm. And learning who am I in order to help others. Then what can I be best at? I may say, I'm really good at planning and organizing stuff. But at the same time, I like to be creative and to have a really fresh perspective and to try to find new ways of doing things. Always thinking on others and taking into account each of the people that are working with us. And the other thing is, I like to make things happen, and I always I'm really on executing things and achieving things, mm-hmm. like goals and objectives we have, even though it may be challenging.
So you're an instigator, huh?
Yes. About my resources, I think first of all it would be myself, my experience, and then people that surround me, like my friends, my parents. My colleagues, or people I have worked before with, that I think they are people I have learned from, and that I would like to always take into account when I'm thinking on another project or thing I wanna work in. Also my partner, or my boyfriend, he's really supportive for me, and he's like role model also for me. I'm also looking around books and journals. I really like to go to learn from specialists and to understand sometimes a theory about everything, and then to be able to execute correctly. Mm-hmm. I may be too rational sometimes, so I that's why it may be one of my references. And of course, I think nowadays social networks are really important, and you have since Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and that's a channel where we can get to know other people and to get more information from others, and sometimes remember who you have around and who can help you.
Right.
So I think that's also a huge and great resource. When I'm thinking about my stakeholders, I think that was the really tough part for me. Because right now I'm not working on a specific project. Mm-hmm. So I think that during this quarantine and with the COVID and everything, what I have been what I have been realizing is that people or my community is looking for a safe space where they can be themselves. That it's a space with more tolerant people, because right now I think we have been living with a lot of mm-hmm. discrimination, and here, for example, things related on how we have been treating women, it has been really tough for me, and it also makes me feel identified with the stories that I hear and what I listen. So I think those people that they want to be heard, they also want to be respected, and they want to feel like they can, they have the ability to do something, and that they aren't less than others. And I think that's really important, because they need to be really inspired and empowered to do things and have the resources to do it. And that's maybe the way I want to go through. like trying to provide them with quality education or safe spaces where they can talk, where they can express themselves, where they can feel comfortable to really find what's their mission and to empower them to do it. So I think those might be my, and well, the sweet spot that I found is I really like to empower or provide other people with resources, such as, for example, quality education, to make them feel useful and to make them feel that they really can do it by planning and making things happen, but without losing myself.
Mm-hmm. So you already started, actually, Fernanda, to do that. Next question that I had for you is to put into one sentence, mm-hmm. you said you like to empower people and provide them with the resources, such as getting the education and finding ways that they can be useful. I didn't quite catch everything that you said, but and that's what I would like each of you to do is to distill it down now to a very simple sentence. You know, I like to help, you know, I like to help people, or I focus on a specific group of people. I like to help so-and-so, that group, to do da-da-da. So again, this just gives you another way of honing in on what it is that you're doing on your, in a sense, on your first round of your X factor. So here we go with the next 3 minutes. Was the music level okay for you guys? Was it pleasant to have it in the background? Yeah, okay. Is texting at 100 words a minute. Okay, so our 3 minutes are up. So we're going a little bit into our next period of time, but I will still give you your full half an hour break. We'll just take a little slice out of this afternoon. But I'd like to hear if you've really got it down to like one sentence. It shouldn't take as long to go around the room. Was that easy to distill it down to one sentence or not? You can say number one, yes, easy or hard. Number two, what you've come up with for now. So I'm going to just, let's go. If you're ready, Grace, we'll just go around the room the same way we did the last time.
Okay. I still don't have super clarity.
That's okay. That's okay. This is, yeah.
But I like to help friends and colleagues to dig deeper into the heart of their own passions. In order to connect it to a greater purpose or to a common purpose. I don't know, yeah.
Anyway, as you can see, this is a kind of work. It's a creative process for doing this. And as you wrestle with coming up with these sentences, you realize, I thought I knew what I was, but actually, I gotta figure this out a little bit more. So this is excellent. This is not a problem. This is this process. Mm-hmm. I mean, even when anybody writes a book or comes up with a masterpiece, you do your first draft or you get the idea, you put your first draft down, then you work on it. And then you know, what was it? Hemingway would get up every morning, write, I don't know, 25 pages or something like that, and distill it down to one or two. That was his process every day. Then the next day he would do the same thing. He'd write and then he'd cut it down from like 25 pages down to one. And so that's how he worked on, that was his process for coming up with stories that read simply and easily and are quite powerful in their way. But the process of coming up with something that is really good and that really does, it takes a lot of work, self-reflection, thought, exploration, and then the whole process of distilling down. So to come up with something that is, you know, for your life, for your organization, and in a way it's good to do these for yourself, and then of course you do tend to do this kind of work in a group with your organization. But at some level you'll have had to have think, well, what think first, what is it that I think the organization is? Then you get into that engagement process with others, and then that creates a whole nother dynamic. But even the process itself has value, because life is a process, it is a journey. And so it's like just coming up with the answer, as if there was an answer for life. I suspect it would be done, you know, and we'd all be switched off. Who knows? I don't know. But it's a process. So the wrestling with it is part of what is good. And so I really appreciate that that's what you are doing, Grace, because it's drawing out of you, getting you to go back in and really think again. And is this what I really want to do? And then I know so many times I've come up, yes, this is what, and then I wake up the next day and I go, well, that was pretty good yesterday, but don't about today. So it really is a process. I mean, even because to some extent, this is the kind of process that's behind branding and, you know, big branding concepts. And actually, this is just one little piece of a whole, what in order for you to be able to brand yourself and to become very effective at what you do, and so that you can get out there and be known, which is a whole nother step, another series of steps. There's about 8 steps there. But that's why there are whole industries associated with this. People, because they facilitate this exploratory thinking, rethinking, reassessment, re-engagement. Understanding of this, it's kind of like all that hard work, all to figure out where you are, who you are, where you are, what your strengths are, what your resources are, and therefore what you can bring into the world. And even once you kind of got that kind of clarity, then the next level of work is constantly making that relevant to society as it adapts and changes. Because, you know, blockbuster video was really relevant in the, what was it, 90s, I guess? And all of a sudden, it's disappeared. A, it didn't adapt. I mean, it had its name, Blockbuster. Okay, it was Blockbuster Video, but it could have adapted to something else. Who knows what? I don't know. And it could have pivoted and whatever else, but it didn't and it disappeared. And, you know, whatever. But the point there is that even once you get clarity about what it is that you do, you have to ensure that you remain relevant. And that's the next level of ongoing work. So, for example, Women's Federation's relevance back in the 80s and 90s need to be updated to where we are today. And the core of it, I'm sure, is highly relevant, but the way it's presented and how it's articulated and how it is shown to be relevant, that's a whole piece of work, and it does take investment, time, and effort. Daniela.
I came up with, I want to help people in the entertainment industry have a positive and long-term impact in the world. I couldn't decide because like the ultimate goal is to reach the audience, not the entertainment industry itself. So I was like, debating in my head, like which, like where to address this sentence to.
Yeah.
But I opted for what's closer to me, like more accessible and more.
So this is a fantastic beginning point. And then what you do is you go back out, you utilize your stakeholder thingy, and then you speak with them to find out what is it that they're really wanting to do and to deepen that, you know, hone in on that and get that feedback in their words from them, because they'll have, if you are to, for example, and this is how you hone this process in, and I use the word hone, it's a little bit like sharpening a knife. You don't sharpen a knife, you know, just with one stroke on the stone or through the thing, it's usually a few. And you find out what it is, and then you do the broad brush strokes, and then you get finer and finer and finer, and your angles need to get more precise. But absolutely, you begin with developing this kind of clarity, then go back into doing that kind of research with those people, so that then you then refine your whole process with their, at now, what. And COVID may have, you've already paid attention to the fact that COVID is making a difference in their life, but even their perspective might be a little bit different than yours based on COVID. So to be able to speak really well to them and to address them, then that would be the next step in this. But that's what this is doing for you. Is helping you basically, yes, clarify your X factor, but then it's also part of the way then you help make that connection with them so that you, as an entrepreneur, can decide how you're going to go forward. How are you going to help them do this? Are you going to do this as an advisor, as a friend, as a consultant, as you might decide to start your own business? I don't know. But here, this is where you're beginning to put to work in a very practical way, and you ground it through these discussions with your that group of people. And if they want you, they're going to say, hey, Daniela. You know, and that's the goal here, is that you become the go-to person in your sector. You become the people they want to talk to, because you're speaking their language, you're speaking to their needs. And that's true. Women's Federation has to find its way to articulate what it's doing so that people want Women's Federation, what Women's Federation has. Otherwise, you're constantly trying to convince people that they need you. And how well does that usually work? You know, it can work, but it's way not optimal. It's way not the way it could be. So developing your clarity around what your passion is, what you're good at, what resources you have, and that you can actually really, really, really provide those services, that sweet spot to what they need, that is what makes you the go-to person in your field of expertise, or your services, or your products, whatever it might be. And it's not just a matter of wanting to be wanted and wanting to be able to, you know, make a worthwhile business or organization. But the point is, if you really do have the things that help them fulfill their needs, that's powerful. That's why we're here. People have needs that are real. And they often need a hand to hold, a person to call upon, you know, to get that kind of benefit from, so that they can go forward and live their life better and help make the world a better place in the multiple of ways that they do this. So this is how, when you are able to fulfill their needs, of course, that's the fulfillment of your passion, what you're good at, the resources that you have, and that you can actually help people, and that they want you to help them. This is the perfect solution. This is not just selling and marketing and making other people do something that they don't really want to do. But when you have that human core right at the center, and there is dignity, there is respect, there is genuine care and concern, when that's at the heart of it, and then you build this structure that all lines up for your organization. Again, just make sense. In a way, it's kind of like, well, yeah, so what's new? But the reality is, it is sadly, it is actually new. And Ifanye.
Well, I have to write and rewrite and write and rewrite.
Yes. Gotcha.
Okay. I want to establish a resource or platform. Mm-hmm. For people to find their confidence and spring up from there.
Cool. And the target group that you're really focusing on?
The target group that I'm really focusing on are youths and women.
Youth and women? Can you narrow that down, or is that every youth and every woman?
Especially women who have gone through abuse and part of the world, Nigeria, you know, mostly women are not inclined to run for political positions because of the stigma that comes with it, and the name calling, the name shaming, and some don't know how to, where to start, because they lack that confidence. So we want to zero on something community to give them that confidence Give them the tools to become confident so that they'll be able to decide if they want to pursue that career. They have the option to do so.
Right. So then right there, so then you're speaking to those women who, and I'm not sure how to best say this in the context, in the Nigerian context, but they would be women who have experienced challenges and difficulties and still want to rise and take and aspire to more publicly advocating for women or something like that. So, and you'll find the better words. That was a lousy job that I just did. But anyway, my point there is for you to narrow in on, so it's not just women, you are looking at women who have experienced trauma and still really want to make it, help make the differences for them and those that follow in their society. Is that,
I mean, it sounds somehow, yeah, I think before the end of tomorrow, we'll be able to
raise
it. Yes.
Good. Anyway, there is no simple way to do this, but it's a really it's a challenging and yet really important activity to keep working on. Thank you, Ifani. Yeah, and Fernanda.
So I came up with another sentence, and I think I like it more. I like to empower my community by providing them with useful resources to make them. I'm gonna rephrase it. Okay, I like to empower people in my community by providing them with resources that allow them to feel capable of achieving their goals and to be positively viewed by the community.
Cool. So you're even just between before and now, you're looking at things from a slightly different perspective. And so part of what I would like all of you to do is to work on this a little bit more tonight at the end of this, just while kind of the process is fresh in your mind, because, once we get past these couple of days, then life will happen. But I want you to solidify this, and it's challenging, and we'll come back to this, and we'll need to come back to it numbers of times in our life. But I'd really like you to each, and maybe we can start even tomorrow morning with our latest version of our little elevator pitch about who it is and what we do, our kind of our X factor, how we are unique in the world and how we are uniquely going out and doing our work and distilling that down. So I want to thank you for all doing that. Now, we have taken extra time, so I'm still going to give you your half an hour. So we will just, it'll probably be more like 25, because 11:25, or maybe we'll just take it 11:30. Anyway, I'll tell you in a second exactly when we'll come back. But after lunch, we're going to do a couple of things. Well, one main thing is I do have an invitation for you that I want to go over, just so we've got that out there. After that session, there'll be a little bit of time left after we have a break, and then we end up with probably any questions and answers after that, and then we'll break for the day. Then tomorrow we're going to be focusing in on, today we're kind of looking at the X factor, looking at how starting to put together your unique presentation of who you are and how you're operating and who you want to work with in the world. And then tomorrow, what we're going to be working on is really the tag system, or the action plan for aligning, because it's good to have the X factor, that piece in there, which then helps you clarify. If you know your mission, that's kind of like your destination. It's like you're on that boat. you've got the pin in the map, you know where you're going to. But at an organizational level, you've still got to come into the work each day. You've still got to do, you know, make your phone calls. You've still got to make your connections with people. You've got to write your emails. You've got to, you know, have your staff meetings, whatever it might be at those functional levels of your organization. But what we go over tomorrow as the alignment system for what the tag, I call it tag system because it's a transparent, which is often not in most organizations, they don't have such transparent goals. And sometimes it's because they're not clear in their goals. But also sometimes it's because, you know, like corporate level or the main management level has goals for the larger organization, then down you have different goals, of course, subsets of that, but they're not always aligned. That siloing process often disjoints that alignment. And so this is where we come back into, as Ifanie and Grace know, we look at what the core process of OKRs. I'll explain a little bit more about Peel and what that really means tomorrow. But the main point is that it's how to put into place a very practical action plan for aligning your X factor, all of your stakeholders, you know, getting that alignment taking place, a very practical system for doing that. And that way, then that dynamic, what we went over earlier, that looking from the top, you have the human element in the middle, and you've got the X factor, the resources, and the tag system. So you've got all of those systems there, but that helps you to then really help all of these pieces work together. Once you've got those three elements, the X system, your goals. Adoption system in place, and you've got your ways to work with and to build your resources. And we've mostly focused on the stakeholders. There's a whole other area and Ifanie's spoken to that at different times, referred to that as your social capital, which is more organization to organization, as well as your financial capital. They're the other areas of resources that need to be built once you've got this core piece in the middle. But so then I think you begin to see how all of this fits together in a very simple aligned package around which you can then build. And then that makes with this core, it's kind of like having your skeleton. Once you've got a skeleton in place, then, you know, you put your flesh in it, you exercise the muscles, and then you go out and run around the world and do all kinds of stuff. But, you know, you take the core out of you, you know, we've got what, a bag of mostly water that just goes flop on the ground. Once we've got this core in place, then you can have the exquisite, amazing humanity running around and doing really neat stuff in the world. I don't know whether that makes sense. They give me dances or whatever, you know, however it is. So it's 11:28. So we'll see you back at my noon, your 3 on the East Coast, and Daniela and Fernandez, your 2. So have an early lunch and I'll see you then.